The prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I honor the Lord this morning for yet another opportunity to proclaim the good news of the gospel, just to be in fellowship with the Powerhouse Church family, and to embrace this new day which he has made, because he's instructed us to rejoice and be glad in it. So I thank the Lord for this opportunity and this time of rejoicing. I give honor to Pastor Avery, to Elder Bobby, to Elder Deborah, capable workers, so very much for the introduction, to Deacon Donovan, to all of the rest of you that are on the line. I praise the Lord for the saints of God, because I'm like Pastor when he was giving his testimony. I kind of thought about the Holiness Church in which I was reared, and everybody's testimony was just so exciting because everybody woke up with their minds yet stayed on Jesus.
Yes.
And they woke up with the activity of their limbs and the blood running warm in their veins. Everybody talked about being saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with a mighty burning fire. And then they would all conclude with, they would all conclude by saying, "I ask the church to pray my strength in the Lord, that I might run on and be what the Lord is calling me to be in these last and evil days." And I still say that's good. That's good news. That's a good word even today, because we are still living in the last and evil days. And I thank the Lord for Elder Deborah's comments and introduction, because she kind of touched on and affirmed what the Lord had spoken to me to share with you this morning. I want you to turn your attentions to the book of Galatians, as was authored by the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read in your hearing verses 1 through 9. Galatians chapter 6, and we're reading verses 1 through 9, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Chapter 6 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such, and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thy also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burdens. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Verse 7 in chapter 6 of Galatians says, "Be not deceived." God is not mocked. "But whatsoever," as we used to say back in the church where I grew up, "whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth in his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And the last verse, verse 9 of this pericope says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not." As the Lord has spoken to me this morning, I want to speak to you from the subject, but Put a comma after but and pause. But you promise. But you promise. Father God, I would ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You remain my strength and my redeemer. Amen. But you promise. I want to focus a moment just on the nature of a promise. A promise. A promise connects something between the promisor, the person who is making the promise, and the promisee, to whom the promise is made. It may be sometimes connected with aptitude, ability, potential, capacity, or talent. However, that's not what we want to focus on here. That's not the focus of our message this morning. A promise implies a belief of an expected return. If you are the beneficiary of a promise, then you expect something from the promisor. The promise presupposes an inherent commitment, a bond, a link, or union between the promisor and the promisee. And if you would think about it just briefly with me, promises permeate all society, all aspects of society. Quickly, just for a moment, think about promises in the courtroom. Sometimes in the courtroom, we're told to raise our right hand and to promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You are the promisor. In a marriage ceremony, we promise to love, to honor, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others until death do you part. You're the promisor. Military life, you promise to uphold the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You are the promisor if you are enlisting into the military. But there's a problem with humans as promises, with promises, and as promisors. When the promisor is man, created in God's image and shaped in his likeness, we have the capacity to break or breach the promise even after it is made. But one thing we all know about the Lord is that he's a promise keeper. If God has promised something, you can rest assured that you will be the beneficiary of something that he promised. But if we as natural human beings, as men and women, sometimes we will allow our promises to be broken because of the storms of life, the unpredictable nature of the circumstances. Sometimes we just give up. We don't have the ability or the willingness to hang on in there. So when things get tough, we break our promises. Yeah. Sometimes we break our promises as promisors because we're just tired. I am so tired of doing the right thing and nothing has changed. I'm just going to forget that. I know I promised that I was going to do right, but I'm just going to sneak out and I'm just going to do something else. Well, trust me, you're not sneaking because God's eyes are still upon you, even when you break the promise. Sometimes as a promisor, we're just quit and give up just because. I waited too long, I don't feel like it anymore, and I'm just going to quit. We're not made out of the right stuff. We claim that there's situations beyond our control that caused us to break the promise. But my sister said, or my friend said, or my cousin told me that if I would just hang out for a little while longer, then I was going to get that for which I was waiting. And I've been hanging for a little while, not a little while, but more than a little while. I'm tired. I'm just not going to deal with it anymore. That's the natural way of looking at it. But I want you to focus a minute on the promisor, Jesus Christ. And in Galatians chapter 6, the law of Christ, how he set out all of those assertions, which are promises. Paul writes in his epistle to the Galatians, and this was written to the early Christian church. It was an attempt to affirm his apostleship. God had called Paul to be an apostle. So he wanted the church to know, I am secure in that which God has called me to do. But I want you to have a serious understanding of what Christ requires of you. learned today that there is much to be learned about Christian living, which will prepare you for the promises of God. However, you will not know what God has promised if you don't know God's word. That's why the word of God tells you to study to show yourself approved unto God. As a work person, workman, that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why you can hang on in there, because your promises are yes and amen. You know what the promises are because you are in the word. How do you really hang in there when it doesn't appear that you can see any sign of the promise being fulfilled? How do you continue to hang in there? Because you have been there before. There is nothing that God is doing in your life now that has not happened before. And if he brought you through one time, if he delivered you one time, let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, he has repeating power. And if he did it one time, he's going to do it again. So how do you maintain that disposition of expectancy when you are at the end of your funds? You have more time than you have money. You don't have any more resources, whatever they may be. How do you keep on believing God when you cannot see any change in your situation? When you are in right relationship with the Lord, you can hear David saying, but they, in that 40th chapter of Isaiah, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You're going to mount up. I don't care how tired you claim you are. You're going to mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to run, and you're not going to be weary. You're going to walk, and you will not faint. Then David said again, as we all know in that 27th Psalms, I have fainted. I had. Unless I believed to see. I believed to see. Even before I saw it, I believed I was going to see it. I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So when you're in right relationship with the Lord, you can keep on waiting. You can keep on waiting because you can say to the Lord, but, comma, you promised. But you promised. So I'm going to wait. I don't care what people say. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what they do. But you promise. You've been through some stuff, so you have staying power. You may not have passed the exam the first time, but you promise. You told me already that you would be with me always, even until the end of the earth. So since you promised, I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to give out. I'm going to take that exam again. But you promise. How are we to be assured that we will receive the promises of the Lord? I said to you earlier, you got to be in right relationship with the Lord. But then there are just three other quick things that I want to mention and then I'm done. The first thing I would say to you is that you need to fulfill the laws of the Lord. Make sure you're doing the right thing. You want to get the promise, but you don't want to do what the promisor has asked you to do. What kind of things are you talking about, Reverend? I'm glad you asked. Do unto others as you would have them do unto as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you would that men do unto you, do ye also unto them. What makes you think that you are exempt? You can treat people any kind of way. You can get mad and change your disposition and walk, claim to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and walk right by somebody in church and look at them and not open your mouth. What is the problem? You got to be in right relationship with the Lord. Another thing that you need to do is bear the burdens of others and be willing to go there with them in their situation. Somebody may call on you and say, sister, would you pray with me just for a little while? Pray with them. Do whatever it is they have asked of you. Pastor's always saying, is there anything that we need to do? What can we do? How can we be a blessing? You continue to be a blessing, but I still say sometimes you need to help people understand what God has told them to do. You cannot always be going through the storm. You can't always be in the storm. One day you got to get into the sunshine. You can't always be going through. God is able to call a benediction on the storm. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you ask or think.
Hallelujah.
When I see you coming, I want to go the other way because I know you're going through again. I'm doing all I can to pray for you, to lift you up. But every time you call, every time you talk, all you want to do is complain. Did not God give you this day and your daily bread like he gave it to me? Did he not wake you up this morning, clothed in your right mind? What is the problem? You cannot keep going through. I will tell you again, you got to be in right relationship. Do not walk around with your chest puffed out and with your head swollen. I don't care what God gave you, what he has given to you. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You need to make sure that you're walking in humility. This is what Paul was talking to the people about. Prove your own work. Examine yourself by the words and conducts of Christ. You don't have time to talk about anybody else if you're doing what he told you to do. How can you mind anybody else's business when your business is all out of order? So you need to make sure that you're fulfilling the law of the Lord. That's number one. The second thing you need to do is maintain a disposition of expectancy. When you expect something, you walk with a new attitude. You walk with a new disposition. You're not broken down and bruised and walking with your head hung down. What's going on? I don't know. I just don't feel like I can make it. Well, go home and read the word and get yourself together and come back out and walk with your shoulders.
Preach.
Walk like you got a purpose. Walk like you are appointed and anointed. Walk like you have been called out and set apart. Walk like the blood of Jesus has been poured on you. Walk like goodness and mercy is hallelujah. Walk like goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. Maintain an attitude of expectancy. Walk like you got a destination and a purpose. You have to make it to the end. Why? Because you know he's promised that if you hold out and endure to the end, you're going to receive a crown of life. Walk like you got somewhere to go. What is wrong? I remember growing up, the saints would say, straighten your back up. Walk like you got somewhere to go. And I would say to myself, they were talking to me. I would say to myself, I'm just walking to the car. I don't care where you're walking. Walk like you got somewhere to go. Square your shoulders. Hold your head back. Look up to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, because I'm able to walk. And I'm thinking, I just was going from the church to the car. All I was doing was just walking outside. But the saints would grab you in a minute and square your shoulders back. Look up and live. Look up to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. We'd be all out on the parking lot. They would grab you and say, thank you, Jesus. And I would say, thank you, Jesus. They'd be like, no, thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. He ain't heard that. Thank you, Jesus. And I would scream at the top of my lungs, thank you, Jesus. The next thing I knew, two or three other people were thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. We were all out there in the parking lot thanking Jesus. Why? Because we were able to walk to the car. I can remember the attitude of expectancy being taught in the word so much that I knew that it was just a moment before the promise would be fulfilled. You didn't have time to get depressed. You had food on your table. You had enough or more than enough to eat. And if I didn't have it and you had it, we all had it. If I had more than I needed, you had what I had. Nobody walked around hungry. I don't understand people having to stand on the corner with signs. I don't understand that. If we all have enough, why is it that there's so much hunger in this land? Why is it that there's so many people who don't have? So whatever I have, you have. If I can give you something, I will give it to you. Why? Because I don't want to be around those that are distracted, those naysayers. Well, I ain't got time to be bothered. I ain't got time to do this. I ain't got time to do that. I don't want to be bothered with her. I don't want to be bothered with him. Be careful of what you say out of your mouth. You may be riding high today, and tomorrow you may be down in the same place. You don't know what your tomorrow is going to bring. All you ought to know or ought to be thinking about is that whatever tomorrow brings, God is in tomorrow. Whatever the future holds, God holds the future. And if God is holding the future, you are destined to be a recipient of the promise. If God is holding the future, don't worry about what the medicine of man says. God has already told you that you were wounded, or he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. Yes. He says that by the chastisement, he said by his stripes, you are already healed. So even when the doctor says it's stage four cancer, you say, I heard what you said, but by his stripes, I'm already healed. Even when I went to the ophthalmologist and that right eye was causing so many problems, he said, doctor, I can tell you right now, the right eye had so many calluses on it. He said, you had the problem in your right eye. The left eye seems all right. He said, but the right eye I'm having a problem with. I said, how are you having a problem? And it's my eye. I'm not having a problem. I heard the diagnosis, but I know what the Lord says. He gave me two eyes so that I could see. And I will tell you, after having gone through surgery on the 18th of July and the 30th of August, I can tell you, I can see clearly now. I have no cataract. I can see clearly now with 20/20 vision in each eye. Why? Because I had an expectancy of being able to see. I knew what God was going to do. I knew I was made of the right stuff. I knew I had been through too much to not be able to see out of that right eye. I knew if he'd done it one time, he did it in the left eye, he was going to do it in the right one. I knew he could repeat himself. So when I was leaving and he said, did you get all the information? I said, yeah, I heard what you said, but you didn't hear what I heard. He said, you didn't say anything. I said, no, because I didn't say anything to you. I was hearing what the Lord said to me. I don't have to tell you what I heard. All I had to tell you, Dr. Bird, is it's all right. He said, well, all right, if you say so. I said, I say so because he's already told me. He didn't have to tell you. He told me. If he told you, my brother or my sister, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what people say. You praise him anyway. You praise him because he promised you. He promised he would keep you in perfect peace. All you have to do is keep your mind stayed on him. I said that you have to be in right relationship. Number one, fulfill the law of Christ. Number two, maintain a disposition of expectancy. And then the third thing I would say to you, and especially to you, Pastor, rest your case. The evidence is all.
Hallelujah.
I refuse the evidence. I'm aware of the fact. Now I'm waiting on the verdict. What does the verdict say? The verdict says that I know the promises of God, and they are yes and amen. The verdict says that even before I received the promises, I had to satisfy the condition. I've already satisfied the condition, so I know I can hold out and I can endure to the end. I don't know about you, but when you stay in the word, you start reciting the promises. You start believing the promises. And then when you get into one of those situations, you just go back to remembering what he said. I heard him say, but if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will. I was promoted from the position that I had to chief operating officer of Howard University Hospital. Didn't know it was going to happen. But God enlarged my territory. I ended up with 11 direct reports, 283 FTEs, an $8.9 million budget. But then on February the 8th, as if the enemy thought he was going to do something to me, a new sheriff came to town. A new CEO came to town. I was called to the principal's office. I was called to the CEO's office. He said to me, he'd only been there for 6 months. He didn't know me. He didn't know who I was. He knew what my credentials were, but he didn't know that I was built to take the test. He didn't know that I could take the hallelujah. He didn't know I could take a licking and keep on ticking. I said to myself, you got the right one, my brother. You rolled up on the right one now. He said, Dr. Hodges, I called you in because I'm going to have to let you go. He'd only been there for 6 months. I said, let me go where? I didn't even know what he was talking about. He said, I'm going to have to terminate you. I said, terminate me? Why? He said, because I'm eliminating your job. Now, how can you eliminate a chief operating officer from a hospital? How are you going to eliminate my job? You eliminated me, but you can't be eliminating the job. And then I said, why? Again, he said, you're not a good organizational fit. And I looked at him. I said, but Mr. So-and-so, you don't know me. You don't know anything about me. He said, what I do know is that you are fired. I walked out of his office. I walked out of his office. I heard the Lord say it. I heard the Lord say it. I heard the Lord say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This was on February 8, 2013. On July 7, 2013, he was called to the principal's office, and they fired the person who fired me. I looked at the situation. I wasn't even there. I wasn't at Howard at the time. But they were blowing up my phone. They said, Dr. Hodges, Mr. So-and-so got fired. You said it was going to be all right. You said it was going to be all right. We were more worried about you than you were worried about you. I said, I told you that I had been through the storm and the rain. But I learned how to trust in God. When you learn how to trust in God, you can take a licking. And I kept on ticking. He taught me something about his promises. He taught me how to hang in there. I left that job on February 8, 2013. Before I could get myself situated into being unemployed without a position, I got called to another position, making more money than I was making at this operating
office.
They called me and asked me to come back. They had the nerve, the unmitigated gall and the gumption to ask me to come back into that situation. I said, God has closed that door. And not only did he close it, he bolted it and he locked it. I will not go back in there. I'm not going back. God will not let me go back. He told me to face forward. I did an about face, and I faced forward. And I hung in there because I knew that he was going to give me the promises that he had already made. God is a promise keeper. He taught me something about his promises. He taught me that if I know the promises of God, the ending of a thing is far better than the beginning. When I juxtaposed that situation that happened way back in February of 2013, when I think about where I am today, I know that it was nothing but the Lord. Because even after I left, the hospital was sold. The management of the hospital was sold. And I'm told that everybody that was hanging around that were original people from Howard University, that when they took over the hospital, the company that took over management, they fired everybody. And those people that got terminated didn't even get the benefit of what they actually had. I'm told that they didn't get any severance. I didn't mention that I got a severance. I got a wonderful severance, but they didn't give anybody a severance. So I'm saying to you,
covenant to you. Fulfill the law of the Lord, as is expressed in Galatians chapter 6. Second thing, maintain a disposition of expectancy. And then that third thing is rest your case. Don't keep worrying about it. The evidence is already clear. God knows yes. who you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you and you know him. So you can keep on walking. Just act like it didn't happen. Praise him in advance. Even
praise
before
him, praise
you
him, praise.
Better start praising him in advance. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up with a preacher, and after he was finished telling us what he had to tell us, he'd always say, I've seen, hallelujah, I've seen the lightning flash. I heard the thunder roll. I felt sins break the statue, trying to conquer my soul. But then I heard a small voice saying, I'm a promise keeper. I promise never to leave you. He was telling you, Glenda, I will never leave you. I will never leave you, Glenda. I don't care what you go through, and I'm still going through stuff. But I promise that I will never leave you, never leave you alone. But you promised. And because you promised, I'm happy today. Because you promised, I got a praise on my mouth. I got a praise in my heart. If you can't tell it, let me tell it. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. As my friend Ursula said, before I take it back, I'll add more to it. If I had to go through it all again, I would go through it again. Because I know him to be a promise keeper. He's never broken a promise.
Hallelujah.
He's been, hallelujah. He's been right there. He was there all the time, regardless of how it looked. He was there all the time, regardless of how it felt. He was there all the time. We've heard testimonies about people who were given death sentences. You won't live past on so. And Sister Reba's still living. He's in charge. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless. I don't know what you're going through, but you apply it to your own life. Think about where you are. Think about what's going on in your life. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Don't let the enemy get you bogged down by what's going on. Step over the circumstances. If you need to step over the situation, step over the situation. Look at the enemy. Look at the situation. Look at the devil square in the face and say, you don't know who you're messing with. I'm a royal child. I'm part of the royal crowd. You don't want to hang around with me because the weapons of, hallelujah, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty unto God. I will be able to pull down some strongholds. But you promise.
Thank you for your promises, God. Thank you for the word that we've hidden in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. It is in the name of Jesus that we believe you've heard us today, and we say amen.